And you're very welcome back to the 9 till Noon show here on Highland Radio. We've switched studios and we've switched streams, and we're still broadcasting live, of course, across the Northwest and beyond. On air, we're continuing our series of election debates. Now, our focus is on the Glenties electoral area. There are six seats. There are 16 candidates, and we've had to split it into two to, as much as possible, give everyone a fair amount of time. Today, Kelly Rogers of Sinn Féin was invited, unable to attend. Michael McClafferty, an independent, also invited, unable to attend, or chose not to attend in either case. I'm not really privy to the reasons for that. But we do have six very strong candidates in studio with us to discuss the issues most affecting those people in the Glenties electoral area. And I just have a list in front of me, and I'll go down that list and perhaps give each of you a minute or a minute and a half to sort of outline your stall, so to speak. Starting with you, Micheál Colm Ó Gaoilín Easpaig, an independent, a sitting councillor looking to retain that seat. Why should people put you back in? Good morning to you.
Maidin mhaith, Greg. Agus maidin mhaith, da na dhearraí Liga Léir. Thanks for this. Looking forward to this. I suppose this kicks us off. Look, why should people vote for me? Beyond my charming, charismatic personality, Greg, is that what it is?
You might have to come up with some other reasons there, Micheál Colm, I think.
No, look, I suppose to be serious about this here, because we are talking about something that is quite serious, and I do take it very serious. I would view myself, and it's difficult to talk about yourself, but very committed. I've been involved in politics since I've been knee-high. I'm very committed to my local community. I have 10 years as a councillor, but many, many years prior to that, working on local campaigns, national campaigns, and politics in general. I'm accessible, honest, extremely hard-working. And I suppose the one thing that very much drives me, yes, as a socialist Republican, I am driven very much by love, and that's the bottom line. It is love for people, and it is that where my passion leaves me, certainly, like I says, as a socialist Republican, to have a strong ideology and how I see the world and how I see community and how I'd like to see it develop. Mm-hmm. But also, when you're doing that one-to-one, and I have a background in youth work and family support, which was a great addition and a great help to me when I became a councillor. And that's spending that one-to-one with people, individuals and families who do need more than maybe that general work that we do as councillors, that, you know, roads, infrastructure, piers and harbours, working on the islands. Obviously, we're going to get into the nooks and crannies of that work around housing and the failures, but also to talk about, you know, the positives as well.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that. That's you as an individual, and we'll get into the issues as the morning wears on. Kevin O'Donnell, running as an independent. Good morning to you, Kevin. And just outline why you want people to give you their number one or the highest preference, I suppose.
Yeah. Good morning, Greg, and good morning, everyone here with me. And good morning to all the people listening and tuned in. My name is Kevin O'Donnell. I work in the Apple Green Service Station in Glenties. I'm chairman of the Glenties Harvest Fair Committee, and I'm part of the Glenties Development Group. I want people to vote for me because I have a passion for people's welfare and way of life. And if I can help make life in any way easier for the people in our constituency, I will unturn every stone possible to do so. I'm currently in my work position for the next few months, but if elected, I will give council my full-time commitment, and this will be my full-time job. I am very approachable person and have worked in the retail and hospitality sector all my life. My punchline for this election is West Donegal matters and we need to listen to the people. Let me say here very clearly, I'm certainly not a politician, but I have a very clear vision of people's needs, but most importantly, listening to the people every day of the week at my work. Let me as well wish every candidate here in the constituency and in my area all the best with their campaign, because it's a big commitment to put your name forward for election.
Agreed. Thanks, Kevin. Joseph Molloy, standing for Fine Gael. Joseph, good morning to you.
Morning, Greg. Maidin mhaith, the Na Stairlí Lig. My name's Joseph Molloy, standing for Fine Gael. I'm a manager of my local family business, Spar Supermarket, Derrybeg Post Office, and a coffee shop. Been involved in the business since I finished college. I'm married to Karen with two children. I suppose with my business background, dealing with people on a daily basis, I see similarities between the two, business and politics, and trying to help people, seeing their needs and wants, trying to help them with those sort of things. Action and results. I do see a lot of things that could be done in our local area, especially with regards to tourism and that, to try and keep our youth employed in the local area. As I say, tourism is very important. There are other issues that I'm seeing on the doors where we're going canvassing, and I'm taking note of all of those. I do believe that our area needs a strong voice at council level, and hopefully, you know, to push things on to Dublin to try and get more funding for our beautiful county here in Donegal.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. That's Joseph Molloy. And we're going to hear next from Jimmy Duffy, standing for the Labour Party. Jimmy, good morning.
Good morning, Greg.
Tell us why you think people should vote for you in this election in a minute or so.
Yeah, well, to introduce myself, I'm Jimmy Duffy. I'm a native of Carrickfinn Island, and I born and bred there and still living there. I have dealt with the public and general public for many a year, from my time working in the factories in Gidore to running a number of pubs and takeaway and employing people. And also, again, when times got tough, I got onto a local employer's the community employment scheme, and I took it aboard to get the local hall, the Anagar Hall, which was vacant at the time, and I took it aboard myself to work for the community. And I had that hall up and running. I had classes in it, I had grants coming from X, Y, and Z. We had it really going well, and that was all done for by me for 20 euros extra in the week. But it was my love for the area. And then about 12 years ago, we started a historical Facebook group. There's about 6,000 people viewing that every day in, day out from all corners of the world. And we amassed around about, in the last count, it was 30,000 plus historical images, and all sorts of comments to do with our local area, our heritage, our culture.
Okay. So, Jimmy, we'll work through some of your other achievements, and I suppose what you hope to achieve. But, I mean, you're outlining there, presumably, your work in the community and the work you'd like to continue to do as an elected rep. John Riley, standing from Fianna Fáil, travelled over from Burton Port to see us today. John, welcome to the programme. Good morning to you. Why should people vote for you?
Good morning, Greg, and good morning to all those tuned in. I want to thank you for the invite to this morning's debate and giving me the opportunity to introduce myself to the electorate. I'm John Riley from Burton Port. I grew up in the area, which gives me an insight into all the issues that we hope to discuss here today and the needs and requirements of that area. As an owner of an SME, I understand the challenges facing the sector. My own business is in hospitality, and through this I see a massive opportunity to further expand the tourism industry in West Donegal. But major investment is required if this is to be achieved, so we can create employment and growth. And one of the main issues that raised on the doorstep I've seen over this last few days is the social and affordable housing. And we need to address this urgently, and I know we will be discussing this here today. I'm in a fortune enough to be elected to Donegal County Council. I will apply my lifelong work ethic as 40 years as a fisherman to ensure proper representation for the people of the Glenties area. And I know we have a lot of topics to discuss here, and I'm looking forward to it.
Great stuff. Looking forward to your participation. Last, not least, of course, is Anne Sweeney running as an independent. Anne, thank you so much also for calling over to us. And perhaps you could just outline why you believe people should vote for you, and just make sure you lean into the microphone so we can hear you nice and clearly, Anne.
OK. Well, thank you for having me, Greg. I'm a retired business person after 40 years in the hospitality industry. I'm well-versed in the unaccountability of those who hold power in Ireland. And at this stage, I have no fear in speaking up for the people of Glenties in terms of issues that I would like to see changed. I'll start by getting the gender issue out of the way, in that we have 37 councillors. Only three of them are women, and two of the women are not running again in this time round. So in terms of bringing a fresh perspective and a different perspective to the table, I think it's very important that we have equal representation, and I'm throwing my hat in the ring to make a start in that. However, my big issue is holding power to account, because in Ireland there's a very centralised decision-making system, and this is because of the party whip system. Regardless of who you vote for in this election or in any election, if they are party political, it makes no difference, because what they decide to do is dictated by head office. So I don't consider this democracy. I consider this a form of dictatorship. And what I would like to see is lots of independents coming together for the greater good as opposed to the party good. So we'll get that out of the way. The big issue that I'm finding on the doors is housing and MICA, and these two things affect every single aspect of life. What we have is a system of self-regulation in Ireland, and we saw what happened with the banks, with the self-regulation, where it didn't work and the taxpayers had to bail out the banks. We have now seen with MICA that the banks and the insurance companies are being let off the hooks by the Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Greens, because they're actually pandering to them with it, so that no decision actually gets made. Mm-hmm. What we're going to see probably is that the taxpayer is also going to have to pay for the MICA situation, but it looks like they're going to delay any proper decision making until after the election.
Okay, well, let's stay on that topic, because we've got a good sense of who you are. John Riley, from a Fianna Fáil perspective, and just on the handling of the defective concrete crisis, there is a great frustration out there that for some reason the banks and the suppliers and the insurance companies are being let off the hook. Do you accept that your party is letting those with very strong interests and some responsibility off the hook on that issue?
Well, we're luckily enough, if I could say that, that we haven't really had a big MICA issue in the Glenties area, and I wouldn't be up to speed on following your show and everything. Yeah. I follow it. But, no, I do agree that the people, there has to be a 100% redress scheme. Like, I do believe that personally. Like, it's not the person that built their house. It's not their fault that they have the problems now. Mm-hmm. Like, if you take into the issues now, even in the Glenties area, and I know people that's trying to sell their house, even though the MICA's not an issue, they still have to pay for a MICA test.
Yep.
So why should the person selling that house be hit with a bill of €3,500 to do a test?
Mm-hmm.
So I agree it's a serious issue, and I think there should be 100%.
Why does that not trickle up, though? Because there seems to be a general consensus amongst anyone you speak to that the scheme needs to be enhanced. It needs to be 100% redressed. That's cross-party and none across the county. But the penny doesn't seem to be dropping in Dublin in that regard.
Yeah, well, I don't know why, because it's not an awkward... They didn't cause this problem. If I bought a car from a garage and there's something happened to the car, it's not my problem. I bought it in good faith. The council and everybody have to stand up to the plate and help the people, because they're in a serious situation with walls crumbling around them, and I don't believe that's true.
Yeah. And I suppose Kevin O'Donnell is an independent. You know, we're all of the one county. We all have skin in this game. As we've just heard from John, everyone's affected in terms of buying or selling property. Would you be of the view that such a scheme needs to be brought up, similar to the Pyrite scheme in North Leinster?
Yeah, well, as you trickled on to there, if this was the situation in Dublin, I just wonder how it would be dealt with. Now, we're in Donegal. a lot of the cases are in Donegal. In Glenty's area, I know there's houses in Glenty's. What the problem? If there's 30 houses in my hometown, it's 30 too many. And there's 30 families that are affected, and there's 30 families that should be looked after. So I would support 100% redress. Now, John tippled on the point as well, for people selling their houses, they have to do a mica test now, and it's costing £3,500. I had a family member that sold a house a year ago or 2 years ago, and yes, the test had to be done, and it cost them £3,500. So that, to me, is not fair.
Joseph, what's your view?
Personally, I believe this should be...
Sorry, I should use people's full names. It's not your fault, but this is Joseph Molloy, sorry, Fine Gael, just to be clear. Not we're helping to spread the word of the candidates as well, my sorry.
Personally, I agree with a couple of the views here that it should be dealt with far quicker than it has been. I don't see it how it's fair that people are suffering the way they are. This has been dragged out far too long. Again, I believe if this issue was in Dublin, there would have been dealt with far quicker than it has been. Again, it's just another symptom of Donegal being left behind. And I genuinely do believe they have to help these people out.
Yeah. Joseph, I must put it to you, though, that you're standing for a party that's in government that, to follow through on your words, is leaving Donegal behind.
Well, there's more than one party in government here right now. There's three parties there. I'm standing as a local candidate in Donegal.
But you can't ride two horses. You can't sort of take the lift from having a party behind you and then sort of try and disengage from them.
I can
when going gets tough.
Generally, that they do need to move on this quicker. Who is the Minister for Housing right now?
Fianna Fáil.
Yeah. You know, okay. If you want to blame Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, Green Party.
Right, okay, yeah. We'll come to that in a second. Listen, thanks very much. Micheál Colum, on the issue of defective concrete, I just wonder how affected Glenty's actually will be in 5, 10 or 15 years' time, because there's not a border that this problem stops at.
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine what it'd be like to live in a house with pyrite or mica, I suppose is the collective name that we're using at the moment. And when you think back when Councillor Frank McBarty were talking about this here, and he was dismissed, and it's coming clear now that he was fairly on the ball on it. And yes, I fully support the 100% redress. Why wouldn't I? And I see there are candidates standing here in Letchkennell. You have Thomas Sean standing and Dennis in our own area. And clearly a big, big issue for families. And I was just interested in what Anne was saying there in terms of what she was saying about, well, hold on a minute, What about the banks and the insurance companies? Because they're quite content to take our money every year, hundreds and hundreds of pounds and hundreds of thousands when we're paying back our mortgages. And they are. And unfortunately, under the capitalist system that both parties here share, that it's about looking after the interests of the private and companies, so to say, the banks or the insurance. And a lot of people are saying about the door at the doorstep, that why are the government not doing more? Why isn't the banks being forced into a position and the insurance companies? Yeah. And I think that's a really important conversation.
Well, they're in a very nice position because...
But right now...
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just finishing this. Sorry, Greg. And right now, I do believe that what we need to do as a state is to move in there, look after the interest of the homeowner, and then we have to go after the banks. But unfortunately, I feel that there won't be any great will there to do that. We only have to look at Apple and the tax and the court cases and Europe. So I don't think there's any great will, because we're talking about billions of pounds. But more importantly, not just the finances. We're talking about people's well-being. We're talking about people's lives, how it's been destroyed and turned upside down. And I don't want to be a tokenistic gesture to anybody, but I couldn't imagine what it's like for the families.
Jimmy Duffy, your views before we wrap it up with Anne, who started this conversation.
Yeah, well, mica is in Glenty's electoral area. There's a number of houses on the Erns. There's a number of houses in the Magaluga County. I actually was at a house. A council house was built for a vulnerable person. I just happened to scalp at the house, and He showed me around the house. He was fucking scan, put his hand into the crack that was in the house. That house was built by, it was an SA house built by the council in 2002. And it only started crumbling a couple of years ago. So we, this issue is sitting there. Houses that could be, looks could be okay at the moment, could start crumbling.
I suspect
that
might be the case.
Yeah.
Everyone around this table seems to share your concerns and agree with you.
Well, yes, but whenever it actually comes back to it, the truth of the matter is that people at a local level have very little power because the parties in power make the decisions. Now, when we talk about 100% redress, the question is, who is going to do the redressing? At the moment, it's going to be the taxpayer that's doing the redressing. The question then is, how do you make the insurance... I think the insurance companies at the moment have managed to get themselves exonerated completely. Now, this is no different from the churches during the sex abuse scandals. But I don't want to take it off on another tangent. Mica is all over Glenties. I mean, I had Mica in my commercial premises, and you're not even eligible to make a case about it because commercial premises are not eligible at the moment. I know loads of houses in the Dunfanaghy area that's got it. It's not all from the Buncrana quarries that is the issue. But what the problem is that we've got very effective paid lobbyists who are influencing government policy. And as a result of that, everybody has to be taking advice from somebody. And there was just a report this morning about housing. But the housing committee couldn't agree on what the future of housing was to be.
Is it a bit curious that the minister can call in the insurance companies to give out to them because they've changed the system of payments? So in other words, compensation or payments from the insurance companies have lowered to us, right? But premiums seem to be going up. The minister can call in the insurance companies on that issue. Why can't the minister call in the insurance companies on the issues of defective concrete and say, hold on a second, you've got skin in this game, or to the banks, why should the taxpayer restore your assets to 100%? Do you have any insight or any... Why do you think the government can't do that?
I think the government can absolutely do it at the stroke of a pen if they so choose. But because of we have this traditional type of thinking that the civil service and the banks are actually advising the government as opposed to the other way around. So you have insurance companies like PwC who represent the government in terms of advising them. They're also representing BAM, who are building the Children's Hospital. And if that's not a conflict of interest, there's something seriously
okay.
wrong.
Okay. Anyone want to add anything to that just before we take a break and we'll move on to our next topic? Micheál Colum.
I just think that I agree with some of what Anne's saying there and certainly welcome that discussion around banks and insurance companies. And again, their objective there is clearly to make profit. The objective of government is to make sure that that profit is secure. And that's a conversation that has to be had. And Anne's 100% right when she says that they can. The government choose not to actually call them in and hold them to task.
Yes, of course, Jimmy Duffy.
Yeah, well, I represent Kaparki, who has in their manifesto to have end-to-end redress. It's the only party that has an end-to-end redress scheme in their manifesto, and that means to take the house, take the keys from the house and replace that house to the person.
Okay, well, we shall see. Right, we are going to take a break. We'll be back with more from our panel after these messages. You're welcome back. Now, a number of people have referenced, that maybe Donegal is disadvantaged because of its distance from Dublin, i.e. the seat of decision-making. And there's many people I speak to in Glenties feel that they are disadvantaged because of their distance from Lifford. John Riley, do you believe Glenties, the electoral area, doesn't get a fair crack of the whip from Lifford? And I suppose, what would you do to try and draw more attention, more money into issues such as roads, footpaths, housing, general infrastructure? I mean, do you believe there is an issue? I beg your pardon, sorry, John.
100% agree with you, Greg. I don't believe, and this is one of the main reasons that I'm running and I'm sitting here today, I don't believe that we're actually getting the money from Lifford. And I don't know why that is, because I'm actually a bit envious when I drive around the rest of the country, and I have to be quite honest. I go up to Killybegs, Donegal, Bundoran, and I'm just naming the towns in the general script to see where we're going here. You go to Killybegs, massive investment, and 4 or 5 million being spent, Donegal, Bundoran. I was on the Donegal road to Bundoran yesterday, stripping the whole road, re-tarring, resurfacing. Brilliant road. You come into Letterkenny. Some people think maybe Letterkenny's not up to speed, but it's a lot better than what we have more to the west, Pontcranna and Shone. And I wonder why we're not getting the investment into there. You know, is it the problem that when our councillors are going to Lifford, that they're not pulling as a team to take the money in? Like, I understand that the way the Lifford probably works is, like, if we're sitting here now and there's a pot of money in that table, you're going to have 30-odd councillors looking to take whatever they want back to their area.
See, we're now in the sort of bread and butter of what the electorate believe councillors should actually be doing for them.
Exactly.
And that is bringing money, investment and representation into an area.
It's like a business, Greg. Can you imagine if you go to, if 30 councillors go to Lifford, and if I'm lucky enough to be elected, our sole aim is to go up there and compete with the other councillors to bring that money back for the good of our area. Now, if we're not pulling together as a team, if them 6 councillors coming out of this area are not pulling together as a team, then we're not going to bring the money back.
Yeah, massive investment going into Bunkrana as well, and other parts of Inishowen. Are there any sort of like big projects for the Glenties area? What's your view, Joseph Malloy Fine Gael?
I believe that
it's not a hard yes.
John's it is a hard yes. John's hitting a lot of good points there. I do believe
he's putting together well here.
Well, that's fine too. I don't think the public care as long as
it's delivered.
We should all pull together.
It's like, as I said earlier, local politics, local issues. We should be pulling together for the benefit of the northwest of Donegal. And as John said, I see it in Gwydor, Dunlow, the Rosses driving around the same as him. And you see the lack of funding that's coming in. And as he said, like for running the business, as I am a business myself, you wonder, where are the budgets? What are the budgets?
And also, where is your commercial rates going? Because I presume your euro of commercial rates is equal to that in Letterkenny.
Yeah, our commercial
rates. But not even that, Greg. It's the local development charges. Like, I'm after finishing a project, Neil knows about it, last year. And the council hit me with a slap-bang big bill of local development charges. And there was another project on 500 metres and they got hit with the big bill. Mm-hmm. But that money's supposed to be spent in the locality. And I can tell you it's not at the moment.
All right. Joseph, did you feel you finished your point there?
Well, as I said there, when I'm looking at, say, you see funding coming from Dublin for certain projects, like there was one there, the historical monuments recently there, and there wasn't a penny for Donegal in it. And like, we need to be shouting and putting applications forward from Lifford to Dublin to get this funding, because you know we can't sit here and say that we're not looking for stuff or complaining. We have to go and get it.
400,000 to 1 point something or other million. But, not a single application from Lifford went down.
And you'll see other things, like you'll see funding for greenways. Again, you might see certain areas of Donegal, but generally in our corner, you see nothing. We have to go looking for this money. You need to go fighting with central government for it.
Uh-huh. Okay. And that fight you'd say starts in Lifford.
Sorry?
You believe that fight starts in Lifford?
Well, yeah, you have to have a bit of cooperation too for the benefit of the area.
Kevin O'Donnell, you have obviously an insight into this as well.
Absolutely, and totally agree with what the two men have said here. Going to Lifford as a team and as local candidates, go and fight the roads idea with the whole team fighting together. We have a road between Glenties and Letterkenny. A lot of people travelling from Ardra, Glenties, Letterkenny every morning, going to their work, coming back in the evening. Now, on that road every day, round the work times, it's like a train.
It seems to be a struggle even to get a dangerous bridge on that road, let alone the rest of that street.
Greg, that is the next thing I was going to mention. We had a collision in Fintown at one of them bridges a lot of years ago, and there was numerous people killed. Terrible. And not one thing done at that bridge. And even coming over this morning, you have to slow down at that bridge. Now, for me or any of the locals travelling that road, we know the hazard is there. And that is a total red flag for that area. Now, a few weeks ago, We had our new road opened, the N56 connecting Glenties to Dunloe. Fantastic, a great road. But big issue was speeding on that road. And loads of the houses that I was in the area between Glenties and Dunloe spoke about the speeding on that road. Yeah.
And also there's an issue in terms of people using the walking cycling path feel unsafe on that road because of the speed of the vehicles and the lack of protection there.
Yes, and the lack of protection, especially down below the filling station where I am in Glenties.
Yeah.
There's part of that road and the barrier is on the outside of the walking lane, if you understand what I'm saying. The barrier is close to the field where they walk.
That's
and
a TIA issue, but you would hope that the council will have some role in it. Micheál Colum is the only sitting councillor here. What are you doing? You know, why is there this sense that the electoral area is being left behind? Why are we getting a sense from other candidates here that maybe the councillors aren't pulling together to do enough for the area?
Yeah, look, there is obviously clearly an issue in terms of where central money is distributed up here to Donegal. And the way that works then, that's divvied out. And probably on...
Is it still done per kilometre of road?
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. So for the Glenties MD, we probably have the biggest road network than any of the other MDs have. So we do get a fair bit of money into the area, but it's nowhere near it. And we're talking and we're genuinely talking. And John... And Josie are right in terms of what we're saying here about pulling together, being able to work together. Like myself and Josie, if Josie's elected there, or John or whoever, like there's no doubt about that. There's a long enough relationship, say, for example.
He's making enough noise on the core issues in Lifford, though, to that point.
So my point is this, that we will work together, work well together. And the problem is, and where the problem lies, is that we're not getting enough funding and we're not. And yes, we can blame the parties for that there, and we can blame the government. But the reality is that's unfortunately how it is. And right now,
so why is the big investments going into Buncrana, into Letterkenny, the massive money spent at Sleeve League, Fort Dunree, big plans, can't get a toilet at the foot of Mount Errigal.
Well,
you know why is sort of from that area to the west so disadvantaged in terms of key infrastructural developments?
Well, there are key infrastructure development even at John's doorstep there in Alchicharra. Massive. If you look at Aran Mór, which I'd be very centrally involved in both as well, in Alchicharra and Aran Mór, we've massive big infrastructure there. The foreshore project, the core coming there, led very much by Noreen in terms of the new garden being built there. So there are quite a lot of money being spent, even in Aran itself, on the road infrastructure and the smaller islands. And going up Errigal, like the committee in Dunluce, Upper Vilchina, Gentac, who had in the Blianti, fantastic work. And we've seen, unfortunately, this last, I think Josie was saying to me, or Kevin or somebody was saying to me, about the water damage that's been done over the last couple of days. There are. But is it anywhere near enough? No, it's not. Even again, in Alchicharán, if you look at the railway walk that was started way back many, many, many years ago, but yet we're seeing other projects getting...
Well, how many greenways have been gone through planning and finished and are being used since people started talking about Burton Port to Letterkenny?
Absolutely.
But that's what users sent there to sort.
Yes, and to answer that question is, myself and Councillor Michael McBride had been both working together to try, because it's connected to the Glanty MD, Agustí Cantor, Mulford, Ballin, the Gallaglass, like it says, Canal, so it's all connected. And we have been working on that there, and there are staff now working on it. And I suppose for myself, as somebody who was on one of them committees, not in the council, but locally, it's very frustrating when you see good, hard-working people promoting their own areas. But the greenways, they are fantastic.
I've never seen it before. There was a discussion about that greenway that was held at the Glenties meeting. And it was done closed doors. Media asked to leave to discuss that. So whatever reason that was, I don't know. But we were asked to leave. I just went home at that point.
Well, where I stand in workshops. Well, yeah, and I'm not sure if that's going to be discussed today or not. But we're not getting
Kevin's
the same
come,
focus.
I get you. Kevin's going to come back in on this, but I want to give Anne a word on this. Anne, do you recognise the investment and the developments and the picture that Micheál Colum is painting?
I do recognise the picture that Micheál is painting, but the dilemma is, in order for projects to be driven, they have to be driven by local community committees that are then working hand in glove with the council. Therefore, the responsibility for actually making sure a project starts and is driven is actually driven by volunteers. And it's very hard to get volunteers to continuously try and move a project forward. They get fed up or they move out or they do whatever. But basically the whole issue comes down to how local government is funded. And ever since Fianna Fáil did away with rates many years ago, local government and councils have been starved of funding to do essential work that has to be done in every other country. So we just have commercial rates, which is far too high. And it's not anywhere near enough to cover the services that we want or require, or the roads we want or the footpaths we want. So we keep on harping about money, and everybody's struggling after a small pot of money when a proper plan is not put in place as to how local government is funded.
Mm. And so you're saying the plan can't be made work. The plan is what needs to change.
Yes, the plan needs to change about how things are funded, because the cost, we are actually paying for all the services much more than we should if the local government was providing them.
Okay.
It's the same as the housing.
Sorry, if you all finished your point. I beg your pardon. Before I bring Kevin O'Donnell back in, he wants to come back in. Jimmy Duffy from Labour.
Yeah, I think that they're warning of cooperation in the previous councils. I can't blame one or the other, but they obviously are not working. And I will be scanning my own corner in the council, but I'll also be, cooperating with everybody else for the betterment of the people of this constituency.
Kevin, you wanted to come back in there, I think.
Yeah, just one other point, Greg. I did want to speak on the greenways. They are fantastic, but like that, they need to be kept and looked after. Now, a fantastic thing to have between Glen Descend and Dunloe, but if you walk, say you walk around the Gibara and it's beautiful, like, just to watch and see the neglect. And their old, our greenway from Glen Descend to Dunloe was only opened about a year, and the grass and the roots and, you know, trees growing in around it, it's like buying a new car and not looking after it. These greenways need to be serviced and looked after. That's just the point I wanted to make.
Jimmy, yep.
Because I have trouble. I'm trying to get a CE scheme, just maybe a floating walker to come and look after the footpaths and that was gone over the last maybe 30 years. But with the lack of, saying if there were a community who got them footpaths 30 years ago and now they're none, that committee is non-existent, then they're just left out on a limb while the taxpayers' money was just thrown into a hole and not looked after.
Joseph, you wanted to come in?
Yeah, just when we are talking about trying to get funding down here, like, there are possibilities there. Like, there's the Department of Rural and Cultural Development there, and there are 9 different schemes there where you can actually go looking for funding for different projects, whether it be for rural tourism, enterprise development. Like, there's a whole load of things.
I think Joseph's on that point. The electorate maybe can live with a funding application being rejected. Mm-hmm. I don't think they can really live with funding applications not being put in. So yes, if there's a pot of money and we don't have a team seeking that money for an area,
we should be shouting
more active
in the applications. And like, if you're not sending the applications on for these,
and would you see the role of the council to be on top of that at every meeting? What are we doing? Where are we applying? What fund streams can we bring to the Glenties electorate area? Do you see that as the role of the elected reps?
Of course, yeah, I do see that, and that's what frustrates me when I see the list of funding and these different schemes. When you see how little is trickling down to Donegal, but like, we can't complain if we're not actually going looking for it.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Micheál Colum, you wanted to come back in there.
I think it's important to come in here, and it would be disingenuous of me not to say that our staff within council do apply. The difficulty is...
Well, hold on a second. It would be disingenuous for me to not point out that the fund that Joseph talked about, we didn't apply for.
Yes, and there are been funds, and I think Jimmy Duffy, I think you raised the point, I think, at one stage, for the... But what I'm saying is, unless I misunderstood, we were talking about footpaths there. What I'm saying is,
it's about everything.
Right,
it's about
everything.
It's about investment in, and we're going to get on to other areas. It's about footpaths. It's about lights. It's about roads. It's about development of social housing. It's about actually people in Glenties feeling that they're as important to Lifford as Letterkenny, as Buncrana, as the Finn Valley.
Absolutely, absolutely, Greg. And as you well know, because I've been in these rooms for long enough, raising these points and challenging the neglect that I see within my own community, and will continue that and hopefully re-elected to do that. But what I'm saying is that the difficulty, it'd be disingenuous to think that we don't apply for any of this, right? So if we're talking about road infrastructure and footpaths, one of the projects that we're working with at the moment is around, and this is only just an example, and John will know himself, even from Acres School.
Really briefly, because we have to take a break.
Yeah, so please. Point is that our staff, who are very good and very committed and do apply for that, but the problem lies is that the government is not opening up funding streams for rural areas. They will work within 30-mile zones, so from one edge of the village to the other, and not allowing us in rural area, which does not allow us to apply.
I think the councillors are not they're not up to speed, because the funding is not going to come anymore for footpaths. The funding is going to come for cycle lanes and green initiatives.
And just in relation to we do have to take a break. And if anyone wants to come back after the news at 11, we can do that, right? But there's other issues to talk about. And also, just in case it's coming across as something different, by highlighting deficits and calling for better investment and more broader approach for funding, it's not a criticism of council staff.
Not at all.
But you've said that a couple of times. It could sound like Joseph's criticising staff.
No, absolutely.
Or Jimmy is.
Yes,
it's not a criticism.
I just want to be clear on that, because it could end up...
The council staff have a job to do. Like any business, the council is like a business and they have money. It's up to us as councillors, if we're elected, to go and get that money for our area.
And support the staff in the work that they're doing. Okay, that's just to be clear. Right, we're going to take a break. Then we've got the news and we're going to come back. Then we have a full hour, lots to get through. Lots of you raising issues about really just being able to live and work in the Glenties electorate area. We're going to be getting to that and so much more after these.